In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the era to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora ana, bula vinaka, talofa lava, and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the best place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinirau Aruna, and alongside me each week is my koe, Sammy Wykes. Sammy, our last show before we head into the Easter weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to a bit of a break. A
bit of a four-day break.
But also, especially across the Pacific, we thank the man above.
Yeah.
Give thanks to him for his sacrifices.
Easter eggs.
Easter eggs as well. We'll have plenty of those.
Now, we were just talking about our diet over the weekend, and then...
Well, you brought it up.
You just agreed to eating Easter
eggs. I'm just
going to
agree with you. But but before we get to Easter and a bit of a break, massive show planned. And I really loved your greetings. You got through kia ora ana, bula vinaka, talofa lava. I'll go halo o keta, malo lele. Give me another one.
Oi, just keep them in mind because give me three.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah. Will not be related to our welcomings.
You're good, mate. You're very good. But massive show planned. I really loved your predictions last week, even though you didn't pick them on Friday's show for our tipping. The Tigers and the Sharks.
Huge.
Tigers, who would have seen that one coming? Who would have seen the Knights coming? But I know you will cover that. We've got round 7 of Super Rugby Pacific wrapped up, so we'll get into the draw and the Moana losses, as well as our guest today, too.
Our guest today, yes. So as you know, our listeners, we've had a wide range of guests on Nijan Footy. We've had head coaches at international and NRL level. We've also had established NRL and NRLW players. This week, or today, we'll be speaking to a young girl who's just signed her first top squad's NRLW contract with the Gold Coast Titans.
So a rising star.
Yep. Her name is Hanua Ramoni. And what I wanted to ask her is like a bit about her journey and, you know, how what it feels like to sign your first contract, what thoughts and emotions are going through her head leading into her first preseason, and some of that expectation that she's putting on herself to make sure that she's in the right position to do her best and then hopefully make her NRLW debut.
Beautiful. We'll have that chat later on. But first up, let's get into our moment of the week.
Moment of the week.
See, massive news out of PNG for our moment of the week.
This huge.
One, huge.
This was announced last week, and with the PNG Chiefs soon to be introduced to the NRL in 2028, they have just announced their head coach will be Willie Peters. Sammy, do you know who Willie Peters is?
I thought I did. I thought he was a Parramatta Eels winger who had hair like mine, blonded, but I was totally wrong.
Did you find out who that player was that you're thinking about?
No, I can't even think. It's going to come to me later when I'm driving home, but...
Willie Mason.
Yeah, we'll go with Willie Mason. but Willie Peters, I knew he was an ex-NRL player. He's been doing some pretty good things at Hull Kingston Rovers, Hull KR. And the reason why I do like this bloke is because when they won that the club challenge.
World Club Cup. So the Hull KR just
the winners
beat
of
Brisbane Broncos in the World Club Challenge.
Yep.
Most recently, probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
And then when they went to Vegas, they got a hiding. And I just think, man, this guy gets it because they weren't going to Vegas to prepare for that game. They were just still celebrating from the beating the Broncos the week before. So I think from an outsider looking in, that's why I reckon he's going to be the great man. He's going to be the man for the job.
Well, Willie Peters, he also was an assistant under Wayne Bennett at the Rabbitohs in 2019. And then he was their assistant at the Newcastle Knights in 2020. He went over to Hull KR and last year, so in 2023, he went and was the head coach for Hull KR in the Super League over in England. And last year, he pretty much won every trophy that you could have with Hulk KR. Now, you look at Hulk KR's team compared to all the other Super League teams. Hulk KR had never won the Super League before, and they don't have those big superstar players. They did sign Jared Wade Hargraves, who had the fairy tale ending. But to win the Premiership and Super League, they won the Leaders in League trophy, they won the Challenge Cup trophy, so the three big ones.
Did they call that a triple crown?
They
not like
the
Union.
The treble. And then they get the World Club Challenge. So he's a very successful coach. Obviously understands his players, knows how to get the best out of their players, and I'm looking forward to seeing his journey at PNG. But as a coach of a new NRL team, now this isn't someone that's taken over Manly Seagulls, which we'll get
to shortly. Nothing established. Like he's got a obviously. Rugby league being a religion in PNG.
New facilities. They're developing, the compound for the players and their families.
You are the start of the legacy.
You've got a blank page.
Yep.
As a head coach, Sammy, if you're in that position like Willie Peters, where do you start?
Start with my wife. saying, hey, babe, we're going over there, and she'll be like, going, where are we living? Where are the kids going to school? All of that. So getting that bit right first.
Yeah.
But
you didn't say this off air, mate.
No, I didn't, but it just came to me after saying to my wife,
think of
signing first to go to Japan and then going back, oh, we just signed in Japan. She's like, what? When are we going to have this discussion? I was like, we're having it now. But but I think outside of that, oh, man, one, who's going to be around me? My assistant coaches, and who are my big three players that I'm going after.
That you target.
That I'm targeting.
Yeah.
I think that's a big statement to be set in the foundations, because you get that bit right, it's almost like a domino effect, because, oh, they're there, so I'm going to go.
I would first, you're right in establishing the team around him, so your assistant coaches, but I reckon it's even more important having the right footy manager.
Yes.
You think of all the logistics that's going to be coming his way.
Oh, that's a big one.
Flights, accommodation, scheduling. Time in PNG, what does that look like for the players?
I just think even their day-to-day schedule of, like, how do you keep the fans away?
Mm.
Like, around privacy and making sure that you don't have people running onto the field at training so you can get quality done. Like, there's so much that will go into it.
So footy manager would be an important one, and it would be cool to see him employ a Papua New Guinean staff member, just to understand the culture and engage with the community over there when they are staying in PNG. But your big three players, you're obviously going to target some players for your squad. Who would you start with? 2028.
So, okay, 2 years from
now. Let's not think contracts or who's off contract.
No. I'm just saying, I think first one that comes to mind for me has to be Cooper Bye. I think.
First one.
I just think that's a flagship signing for myself around. He's a young up-and-comer. You're seeing 10 to 15 years in him. And being of PNG heritage, I just think that one sets a tone from a cultural perspective, but also a talent.
Mm. So invest in him early as
Investing in him early.
Long-term.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then to be a future leader, future captain. But that's just that person that you want to come.
So Cooper Bye.
Man, I'm trying to think of a ball player, but someone that's a little bit more established. I don't know how old Cam Munster is, but someone like him, like you want some characters in your team to be able to lighten the mood and break up the day. I think someone like a Cam Munster would be a good one. I don't know, third one. Who have you got?
My three. I'm going to start with AJ, Alex Johnson.
Oh, yes.
You get the king right in there straight away. He brings his milestone.
That's a good one.
They need a strong leader there, someone of influence, someone that the young guys will listen to, when things aren't going their way or they're going through dark times.
I'm trying to think of that person. Who have you got?
James Fisher-Harris.
Oh, stop it. I think that's spot on. Imagine Cooper Bye learning under James Fisher-Harris.
Yeah. So he'd be probably the first one I'd go after, is James Fisher-Harris, having that type of player in your camp. And then halfback, I thought this would be a pretty cool one, but Nathan Cleary would be pretty nice to land.
Ideally.
With the partner of with
Mary Fowler.
Mary Fowler.
I thought, to be honest, I thought Nathan Cleary, but because in my mind it was just never going to happen. So I just wanted to like what was sort of realistic. But
if Cam, say you got Fish and Nath who know how to win,
yeah,
AJ who represents the PNG people as well, and you know is a high profiled player to have in your ranks, I think that would be my first three.
Do you know one more actually just came to mind? I'd be going after Brian Tottle. Again, for that lighthearted mood. He's a fan favorite.
Yeah, have him in the camp.
Have him in the camp, but he delivers on field as well. So I think someone like him, and he's probably looking for an upgrade in his contract. He's probably taken unders for a long time. So I think someone like him would do amazing over in PNG. But I am looking forward to seeing the signings that will unfold over the next, what's that, couple of years?
2 years.
2 years' time, so.
I think they can't start till November. But anyway, all the best.
Yeah, the
all,
RLPA,
the best, all the best, Willie Peters.
Hey guys, David Mead here, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Round four, Sammy.
Round four,
let's
rugby
get
league.
Straight into it. We've covered Willie Peters. Mate, there's been so much news over the last few days.
Remember how you used to have those three headlines?
Yeah, we don't have the time.
Where are you starting?
Well, there's an NRL coach that just has lost his job.
Oh, of course.
And a young retired player who's just retired has taken the head coaching role.
Yes, that's right.
In Cameron Foran. So Manly Seagulls.
Upsets can hold the phone for a second.
Manly Seagulls, after they lose the game against the Sydney Roosters on Thursday night, the next night when you're watching, I think it was the Warriors versus the Tigers, halfway through that game, it was announced that Anthony Seibold was no longer the Sea Eagles coach. So that was announced then during that game. And then Kieran Foran has been appointed as the new interim coach. What the hell just happened there with three games they've played?
You have to love rugby league. Obviously, you don't want to see people lose their jobs. At the end of the day, Anthony Seibold, he's a father, he's a husband, he's got a family and all of the human side of things. But it's the first time in 20 years that Manly have lost three home games in a row.
Mm.
And obviously, the with DCE leaving last year on those type of terms, it's still not clear around the cohesion within that group. It just seems like it wasn't settled.
I've met Anthony a few times and you know he's always been very respectful and a great family man. So I do wish him all the best for you know his future. And you know, coaching is a cutthroat.
It is, job. And that's the nature of the beast.
You know, you don't like to see it, but you know, when you've appointed someone like Kieran Foran as well, I think this needs to be acknowledged. You know, Kieran Foran being a Manly Seagull legend.
He just retired 8 months
only
ago.
Only just retired, but also won a premiership with the Seagulls. He is, you know, from that DNA. You know, when you think back of when Manly was successful, you know, you had Brett Stewart, Glenn Stewart, the brothers. You also had Anthony Watmell.
Who was the hitman on the centres again?
Steve Maddie. So that era, Kieran understands, you know, how they built that club from within. So he's got that instant respect from the current playing group there now. So, yeah, I wish you Kieran all the best. And
I think it'll be interesting to see. What else I like that before we move on to the games, I just think what you just said there, he's got the respect as a player.
Mm.
And his interview was unreal when he said, oh, you're never ready for these moments. You're never ready, but you just got to walk towards it. And he's owning the responsibility here and just seeing him at training already, putting his speed poles out, his markers out. Like, he's ready for the job, and I wish him all the best because his journey as a player, the ups and the downs, if there's a man that knows how to connect, it's going to be this bloke. And maybe that's what Manly need at the moment, someone that can gel everyone together and get some results. So interesting one for Manly in this year.
And you mentioned it, Sammy. It was a round of upsets. Man, we'll start with the Tigers versus the Warriors. So I mentioned this one off air, and I still picked the Warriors, but the Tigers head over.
You said the Tigers had something in them there. I don't know why you didn't go them for the smoking.
Yeah, I know. But the Tigers, they go to New Zealand and beat the Warriors 32-14. There were a number of Nijin try scorers for both teams. Fa'aletino Tavana, Royce Hunt, Doreen Buller, Sunia Turuva, they both all scored for the Tigers, and the Warriors had chance. Nicol Klokstad scoring a double. And yeah, when you look at their team and the amount of stars they do have, it didn't surprise me that they went over there and done the job against the Warriors.
And no Jerome Luai.
No Jerome Luai.
Massive growth in the Tigers' development. They're not relying on that one person. Next man up mentality, and they get the job done.
Yep, and another upset. The Knights, they beat the Bulldogs 24-16.
Did you see this one?
I did not see this one coming. And I think it's more because when you've lost players like Dylan Brown, Kalen Ponga, they're your strike weapons, right? But they still managed to get the job done against the Bulldogs, 24-16. Dominic Young, he scored a hat-trick to help his team come away with the win. So great work to the Knights. They beat the Bulldogs away. Now, the Cowboys, I did not see this one. I don't think anyone's seen this one. Up in Townsville, the Cowboys beat the Storm 28-24. Tries to Murray Taulagi and Helam Lukey for the Cowboys. And they just managed to watch this one.
Well, I wanted to ask you, was this a case of Cowboys playing at their very best and the Melbourne Storm probably not being at their best for the whole 80? Or is it like genuinely, are we seeing an improvement from the Cowboys? Have they turned their season around?
I think a bit of both. When you look at the Cowboys, the way they had to fight from behind. They were down in the back end of the game and they had to fight their way back in to win this one. So that shows determination, hunger, desire to compete to manage to win this game. Now, the Storm, look back at the grand final. They were ahead at halftime. They, you know, with if Big Tui Kamikamitha scores that last try, they most likely win the grand final. But they let that lead go and Broncos win. Same thing happened here where the Storm have the lead. Something's happening in this last quarter of footy for the Storm where, you know, whether they're taking the foot off the gas or...
And that happened against the Broncos last week as
Where they came back. So a bit of Storm need to understand what's happening in the back ends, but also the Cowboys, they are improving and they've found a way to win a game, which shows their hunger and desire to compete. And just finally, the Titans with their first win of 2026 over the St. George Illawarra Dragons, 22-14, tries to Philip Sami and a double to Adama Hull. Look, this was another tight one, but Titans, they...
See, how good's a win after so many losses? Like, how good is that feeling? Like, you've been in that position. I've been in that position. Like, it is just the biggest... feeling of relief.
Relief. It takes all that pressure off your shoulders. You're on the board.
You can come into Monday a lot happier.
Well, there's two teams that haven't won. Manly, they're 0-3. Dragons are 0-4. So, yeah, the more loss, hopefully next week, the Dragons are going in without a win. Does, that pressure after every week until you get that win increases.
Do you know it's funny? Like, this is a real weird one to notice, but you know how you notice when teams are losing as well? Their dress, the hoodie just comes straight over and you see them rocking up, hunched over, hoodie on, trying to hide away from everything. And you see that in the media stuff, you've been there. It's just not a good feeling, isn't it? Even if it's just a game of footy, it just means a lot to the players.
And on the flip side, you've got Penrith, the only undefeated team, 4-4.
Walking tall.
An unstoppable machine right now. So that's me for round four. And just in some other news, Jermaine Isakoa, he has just signed a 2-year deal with the Storm starting next year. So
thank you, Zach Lomax.
Yeah, watching you watch Harry Grant, he missed, I think it was 3 kicks. He gets those 3 kicks, they beat the Cowboys. Jermaine Isakoa is one of the best off the boot. So it'll be interesting to see where he fits in because they do have Xavier Coates, Will Warbrick, and also the flying Samoan at the back, Sua Fa'alongo. But congrats to Jermaine for a 2-year deal at the Storm. And remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia, and that's me for NRL.
Hi, I'm Palau Fanga, and you are listening to Nation Footy.
Yes, you're listening to Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidau Arona. We've just wrapped up NRL, all the rugby league news, and now we're shifting over to rugby union. And it was round 7 of Super Rugby Pacific on the weekend. And honestly, before the ball even kicked off, oh no, not really, but there's some bizarre moments, T.
Well, who are we talking about? The draw, Moana, or Super Rugby in general?
Super Rugby in general. I think if the Western Force... versus the Chiefs in their game. I saw the Chiefs rock up in the minivans. I was like, it's a bit strange. You get off the big team bus. The team bus broke down on the way to the field. You talk about logistics. Team manager would have been under the pump trying to get, four minivans to come and pick up the boys on the highway.
Plus all the gear.
All the gear and everything like that. So lucky that didn't damper their performance and they got the win over Western Force. But
what else caught your eye?
Minor Pacifica, 60th minute, lights go out one side, light tower goes out. Then 4 minutes after like the lights go out, the broadcast goes out. So they've stopped the game for a bit just to see if they can get it back on, but they had to continue play without broadcast.
The lights were back on?
The lights were back on. I think the lights were back on, but there was still no broadcast for television for people at home to watch it. And this is where the Moana content team comes in clutch. Like, they're smart thinking. They turn this negative into an opportunity. They went live on their social media feed, capturing like behind the scenes footage of the crowd of both benches.
You know what? I actually came across this. I was like, what are they recording here? Because it looked like a reserve grade game.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way they'll be recording live.
I'm pretty sure it's illegal. You're not allowed to.
I thought they were training. It was captain's run.
No, that was the actual game. And you have to think as well, like, you got to credit those aunties and uncles at the functions that go straight to Facebook Live, everything. They're talking to you. Is your mum one of those?
My mum's one of them.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, put them on Facebook Live. And it doesn't matter what event. Could be a birthday. Could be a wedding.
Whatever.
Everyone gets to watch.
Everyone's watching. And people are watching it. But they're like Facebook Live, but still having a conversation over here, but still going. Yeah. So I just thought, you know, that quick thinking from the Minor Pacifica content team is a credit to all those aunties and uncles that always go Facebook Live. A bit of Live.
Acknowledgement.
Like, yeah. Yeah, a bit of credit to them to be able to have that quick thinking and then keep all their fans entertained at home. So I thought, beautiful stuff there for them. But anyway, the footy side of things, Moana did go down 39 points to 19 against your men.
Yeah, the Landers.
The Landers. And we mentioned winger Caleb Tangitao from the Highlanders on Friday scores a double. And we also mentioned big Tongan Spanish-speaking prop Bola Latu carved up when he came on. Made meters, carried hard, won a few penalties. He's going to be a feature for their team moving forward if he doesn't get poached to go overseas at some point, because he's a big human.
For Moana.
So he was very good. But 27-0 at halftime. Didn't help when they were playing with 13 men down at one stage. We had back-to-back yellow cards with William Harvili and Glenn Vaihu. So the discipline was an issue. 14 penalties for Moana, only 7 to the Highlanders.
They yet to win a game, eh, Moana?
Yeah, they're sitting at the bottom, man. It's
is that well, we just spoke about the, you know, the Dragons and the Manly Seagulls who haven't won a game yet. What are we, round 6? We just finished in
round
the Super
seven.
Rugby? Round seven. So are they 0-7?
0-7.
Or they had a bye?
They could have had a bye in between there. No, I think they're 0-7.
So, but to lose pretty much
every game.
Every game. Or they have lost every game. Where do you start from? Like, where,
you know, with those
what
teams
happens
that,
next?
You know, with those teams you mentioned, like Manly still have Olokoatu.
Tom Trbojevic. Levi Hopoate.
You still have experience in there.
Yeah.
The lack of experience in this Moana side is probably what's hurting them at the moment, like the decision-making and individual errors. So if I look at a moment in the game, around the 12th-minute mark, they were attacking the line to score. Moana did a great job at shortening the defensive line. Bodies in motion, really good opportunity to score, but they just needed that last pass at the base of the ruck to let the ball do the work.
Mm.
But the number 8, Ropati, he just went himself, like picked it up and just tried to do it himself rather than identifying the fact and having that self-awareness out there. Oh, we're on here, just let the ball do the work, and they would have scored in the corner.
You know, with the post-match interviews where they have the coach and the captain, have you seen any interviews with their captain, Miracle Failongi?
No, I haven't yet. It's actually, I actually want to go back. You know, this week I'm going to do that. I want to watch that because I'd love to see the body language from both
language
the head coach.
Yeah, the tone of voice, some of the words, what are the words being said. Yeah, we spoke to NEMS around, yeah, they just need to get to a fast start, like try and pick up what they're trying to work on next week to try and hopefully get their next W.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'm going to look out for that this week because you can read a lot from the body language, as you said, and you can get a feeling of what it's like to be in the dressing sheds after so many losses.
Well, I picked up that one when you're watching Anthony Seibold after that loss to the Roosters. You could just see like that blank face and just some of the, obviously they haven't won a game yet, but you can feel that pressure, that weight. Yeah, you can see it. So be keen to see what the language like there.
Yeah, I'll look out for that one. And hopefully, again, there's so much growth in this team, but at the moment, it's almost like they're a good NPC side at the moment going up against some of the heavyweights in this competition. So we'll see what happens in the next seven games because it is the halfway point. But we'll move over to the Drua, who took on the Blues, and they went down 40 points to 15 in the Joely Vindiri Memorial Trophy in this one.
You mentioned last week how they just kept get to the middle range. They're bombing, kicking the ball back and not holding that ball. Similar to this week?
No, they looked a lot better this week. They kept ball in hand.
Oh, okay.
They must have listened to the show. Had to.
Or Big Nems is giving some tips.
Nems has taken my coaching points over and he's claiming it as his own. No, but I think it was this game was more of the Fijian draw that I know of. Like despite the score being 40 points to 15, they had ball in hand. They were getting their offloads away. And when I look at the Blues game, so they had 23 kicks, 192 passes and 12 offloads. Passes that didn't go to hand was 13. But when they played against the Reds, 28 kicks, 177 passes, 7 offloads and 15 passes didn't go to hand.
So big difference.
Big difference.
Showing they're holding the ball.
They're holding the ball and they're playing. And it worked. Like the intent to carry and get through and get that offload away, like it was evident and it did have the Blues on the back foot. And where they let themselves down was it was like the easy pass that they dropped.
Mm.
So after getting through the contact and popping it up, and then it just had to go wide one more time to potentially turn that into a try-scoring opportunity.
Doesn't execute the pass.
Or it goes behind.
Pass behind, yeah.
So I really enjoyed this game. They should take a lot of confidence out of this one because that's how they need to play. It is their DNA. And when you look at their number 12 inside center, Yusefo Namode, he was outstanding. He's the only player in that team that hasn't been capped for Fiji. He was really direct and got them on the front foot so they could play with that width. And also back rower Etonia Wanga and Lok Vodevode. They were outstanding. So they didn't get the win, but they should take a lot of confidence out of that one. And I really love that's the draw of old. If they do that more often than not, they're going to get those wins. So if we look at the table, the Drua stay in ninth position. Moana still at the bottom while the Hurricanes sit on top.
Ninth out of?
Out of 12.
12.
12 teams. The Hurricanes sit on top and underneath them are the Blues, Brumbies and the Reds. So plenty of happening. The Tars turn things around, so they needed to win that game against the Brums in Canberra, so that's not an easy thing to do. So they stay in the hunt as well. Suoliti still not back yet with his hamstring. I think it was at the basketball, actually, the other day, but anyway, that's a different story. No, he was supporting the Sydney Kings in the basketball. But they need him.
Don't give me that whole Adam Reynolds.
No, I'm not. That's not my go. That's not my go.
He should be at home if he's injured.
He'd have got game ready, ice on the hammy. No. They desperately need Suoliti in there to help, finish the season off. But we'll finish off the rugby union chat with the Wallaroos beating Fijiana 33 points to 15. This was the first women's game of the year. Usually we see the Super W played before test matches, but Super W is now played in June. So we're going to see a string of test matches and skipper Bessie Palu led from the front as she always does. She scored a nice try, but Fijiana, they showed plenty of grit.
It's close.
It was close, man. And it was close up until the 60th minute mark, 21 points to 15. And inside centre, Josivini Nehamu scored a great try. She nearly got a second when she made a 60-metre line break but got caught and turned over. But there's plenty of positive signs there for Fijiana for more test matches.
And we'll get Shelley Long on in the coming weeks.
Yeah, it'd have to be soon.
Yeah, to cover all the NRLW, Super W.
State of Origin women's test matches. Plenty of women's footy, horizon. But for me, T, that's it. And Tui, where are we going next?
We are going to our special guest, Hanua Rimoni, to have a chat.
Hi, it's Ivani Politi, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Right, Sammy, as I mentioned at the start of our show, we've had a wide range of guests from coaches, players, established players, but what we have today is a special guest who has just signed her first NRLW contract with the Gold Coast Titans. She is half Māori, half Samoan. She was born in New Zealand, but currently living up in the sunny land of Queensland. And I'd like to introduce to Nation Footy, Hanua Rimoni. Hanua, welcome to Nation Footy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, we're honoured to have you here on our show. I looked online and you actually have a longer name. Do you want to share that name?
Please, because we're a bit scared to pronounce it.
Is Te Ngaro Ahiahi, which is obviously on my Māori side, which is my mom's side of the family. But I do go by Hanua, which is a Tokelauan name. My dad is Tokelauan.
So, oh, your dad's Tokelauan as well.
Tokelauan. Also, you're not half Samoan.
No.
Tokelauan.
There's Samoan and there's somewhere, but Tokelauan is.
Wow.
Tupes has stitched you
1-0,
up.
1-0, Tupo Sopoanga.
Oh, Tupo Sopoanga.
Shot Tupes. But that's even better, because now we've got a Tokelauan guest.
On. Yes, how good is that?
We've had plenty of Samoans on our show, but how many Tokelauan?
Could be our first one. How good's this? What does your name mean?
Oh, Te Ngaro Ahi is my great-grandmother's name on my mum's side. Hanua is on my dad's side. It means the beautiful land. Yes. And then Āwhina, another name that always gets put in there, is my mum's name. So, yeah.
And is Rimoni from New Zealand or Tokelau?
It's a Tokelauan last name. I believe it's in Samoan side, kind of, but it is my Tokelauan family.
Do you know whereabouts your dad's from in Tokelau?
Yeah, he's from Nukunono and Atahu.
Oh, good. Have you gone back to Tokelau?
No, I've never been, actually. I don't think he's been. He was born in Samoa, but I don't think he's been back.
Okay.
I'm pretty interested here. Well, what's significant about Tokelau in terms of, like, you know, Pacific Island people? We think of Samoa, think of Tonga. We've got the, you know, Lusipi, Tongans indulge in some horse or anything like that.
Cook Islands, they're known for the drums and dancing. Real muscly dances.
Sorry, come on, kick back there.
The men, muscly dancers. What about the
don't
Tokelauans?
Don't refer to yourself. But, yeah, what about the Tokelauans?
Tokelauans, I think, like all of the Polynesian cultures, we have the music and the people, the storytelling and everything about the water and the land and how we look after each other through that. We have jewellery, like a piece of jewellery called the ba, which is like very, I think, really special to us. I haven't seen it in other cultures.
Whereabouts do you wear this jewellery?
It's a necklace. I believe you can wear it in as earrings or however parts of jewelry you want to wear. Yeah.
So it's not like a special piece that you wear at any special occasions? It's
like, just the, like maybe the Samoans
We wear it when we're dancing. You can wear it to pretty much anything. I have one somewhere. I can go and grab it.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, might as well have a look at it. Absolutely. That's all right. Perfect. While she's getting that, let's Tupes.
Tupes.
He's the man.
He is stitched us up there.
He's the man.
Because even better that we've got a Tokelauan guest on our show.
I know. But how good's that? I don't remember anyone, like not even...
I don't think we've had a Tokelauan on our show yet. And I'm keen to,
dive a bit deeper here. Okay, she's back now.
Back.
Explain to her, what's it made out of?
Okay, so it's is that a shell?
Yeah. This one's from my nana and I think she's giving it to all of us, giving one to all of us. They can look different. They're different shapes, different colours, anything. I honestly couldn't tell you what kind of shell, but
they are
very special to us.
It reminds me of so the Maldives have their green stone and you can put it in different shapes.
Yeah, I actually grabbed that while I was there.
I got that as well. Perfect.
Yeah.
There you go. Whereabouts in New Zealand are you from?
I'm from Wellington. I grew up in Wainuiomata, so a small town over there.
And then when did you first move to Australia?
It would have been the end of 2024. So I've been here for just over a year, maybe a year and a half.
Did you move over with your family or? go by yourself?
So I moved over with one of my friends from Wainui. We played league growing up together our whole lives. And then we moved in with my uncles who pretty much set us up and helped us get our feet on the ground over here. We're really lucky to have them.
How good was the purpose of moving to Australia to pursue a rugby league or NRLW contract?
Yeah, so we didn't finish our last year of school at school. Like, we were at Sacred Heart College and then we moved over to do our last year on correspondence so that we can come over and play league. And we were lucky enough to get the opportunity through the North Devils Club in Nunda.
Man, that's awesome. To make a big decision like that, especially if I think back to when we were chasing the dream of professionalism, there was always that thing of mum and dad saying that school is the priority. There's no chance you're even going to make it. But you've made this decision here. Was that with your family as well? It's like a collective decision to say, yeah, we're going to go all in here and give it our best shot. Was that the conversation around you moving and pursuing this dream?
Yeah, so my family were obviously always so supportive of us. I think we were given the opportunity from Norths, obviously, and Ken Laban played a big part in that.
Oh, so great, I think, Ken Laban. Yes. Yeah,
Ken always pulling the strings in the background. He brought us with the opportunity. I think our families really, really had like a lot of belief in us and that we could take it all the way. So they did everything to get us here and make it happen.
What was your first initial thoughts when moving from New Zealand to Australia and seeing, you know, the level of rugby league that's played not only on the field but also in regards to training and stuff as well at North Devils?
Moving over, I was so scared. I'm not the most social person, so going into a new club in a new country and having to be around people in an unfamiliar space, I was so scared. But I think having my village, having everyone backing me and going into such a good club that was Norths, it just made it easier for us to adapt to it, I guess. Seeing the level, playing 19s and then going into BMD, it was a big-ass jump for us. I think the level of professionalism and you were playing with athletes, real athletes and people with so much experience, I think it was a good space for us to be in and learn off everyone else around us. So it was pretty exciting.
Are Kiwi athletes not real athletes? No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
These people.
I'm only joking.
Maybe when he gets
I'm a Wallaby fan, that's
rugby
all.
Union. Yeah, yeah. Rugby union. League is a
yeah, different thing. Oh, no. I'm a Union fan. Sorry, that's why I just threw that in there. But where did you learn about getting out of your comfort zone? Because that's what you have to do to be able to go to that next level. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. Where did you learn about that to take this leap of faith here?
Learning, I don't think it's something that you really learn. I think it's something that you just have to do. And I guess taking the opportunities and just putting yourself out there, like taking this interview today, so scared. So scared just having to talk. And so I think it's just something that you just have to force yourself to do and put yourself in uncomfortable situations in order to get used to it.
I absolutely love that.
You're going far.
Yeah.
Oh, mark my words, you're going far.
You know why? Because this show was based on exactly what you said, saying yes and just having a crack. And I remember Sammy said right at the start, he's like, oh, you know, just have a crack. So along the lines of, you know, what you're doing today and what you're going to be doing in the future, it's going to take you far. So looking forward to seeing that journey. But, you know, you come over, you play at North Devils, and then you signed your first NRLW contract for the Gold Coast Titans. Speak to us what that moment was like when you first heard or was approached by the Titans and signed your first deal.
Well, that moment, I don't think I reacted at all. I think I was just in shock. I think Murphy rang me. I was at work and I finished work. I had like a few missed calls from her and Tupo. I called them back and then Murphy rang me and let me know. I think I was just in shock, to be honest. I rang my mum straight away. She told me I wasn't allowed to tell anyone, but I rang my mum straight away. And like, yeah, mum just started breaking down on the phone. She's so proud of me. And then I went home and told my dad, same thing. Just, he didn't cry, but he was proud of me.
He did those crying ones in the background. That's right. No,
I'm sure stay staunch.
Well, what was the first thing your mum said to you when you told her the news?
Well, she didn't really say anything. I think she had the like tears at the back of her throat kind of thing. She's like,
So Tupou's Hanua's player agent, and I reached out to Toops to ask if we could get you on the show. And
Sops Group.
Old Sops Group. But he spoke very highly about your ability, and you know, he's got some big raps on you in the middle as a lock. You play lock?
I've been playing front row.
Front row or middle lock, same thing. But he speaks very highly of your abilities. Now, when you had the discussion with your coach or the NRLW coach, did she say anything about, you know, what she sees in you and, you know, what value you can add to her team?
From what I remember, the first conversation she talked about was just my effort areas and my playing big minutes in the middle, being physical and also being young. And she saw that I was always looking to learn something off everyone else. So I think just my ability to keep pushing and keep going and also take on whatever is around me and adapt to whoever I'm playing with and that kind of thing.
The growth in the NRLW space is going vertical. Like it is moving fast, and there's so many superstars coming out of the game, and now you're coming through this pathway where there are role models now. So for Tiana Benatanis of the world, they weren't really looking up to anyone, but for yourself, having seen the NRLW, who do you like watching, and who's your favourite player?
I'd probably just be biased and say Tiana Finitani, Tash Finitani. Good, obviously awesome players, awesome family, and also Jessica Alliston, Georgia Hale. Such good players, such good people to be around, and I'm so excited to play with them this year.
You know, I'm looking forward to her Hanua's battle against Sala Togatuki. That'll be, I have a feeling he's got very similar styles of play where very...
on that though, like how much does that excite you though, that you're young, fresh, coming into your first season and you're going to come up against a Sala Togatuki and, you know, Tiana Benatani and those type of players? Like how much
Neda,
does that...
And Neda Claudia. Nur Sala.
Like how much does that excite you?
Oh, I'm so excited. These, like, being able to face and be put on the field with these kind of players is so exciting, I think. It's a tribute to my village and it's a tribute to my hard work. So being given the opportunity to just be on there is just so exciting.
Yes.
I think obviously I'm going to put my best foot forward and hopefully do well.
Like the saying goes, it's earned, not given. You definitely earned your position in this space. And I mean, it's just the beginning. Yeah, you're going into your first preseason. What are your expectations of, you know, your first introduction to NRLW?
First preseason? Oh, I'm actually excited just to get fit, be strong, learn so much, and just obviously get a taste of what high performance is. And it's just exciting to know that I'm in a room with these kind of players and around the staff that we have.
Who's given you the best bit of advice on how to attack preseason?
Probably Ken, I think. Yeah, his advice would probably just same as everything. Go hard, win the room, win the contact, win everything, and always compete. So
it's not bad advice from Ken. Is he the mayor of his little hometown? Did he? Did I see?
Yeah, mayor of Wellington.
That's it. Do you know Ken Laban?
Ken Laban.
He's a commentator, famous commentator, and Super Rugby. His son is the guy at the Dolphins.
Oh, Hanan.
Hanan Laban. Yeah, that's his son.
There you go.
But anyway.
Samoan background.
Yep.
Yeah, what are your future goals within rugby league?
Future goals. First step, I think, would be make my debut in RWW. And I think playing in the Kiwis would be a dream of mine. Make the Kiwis play and I think be the best. My goal is to be the best.
Yes, so, I love it.
Have you done like any Maldives team or any Tokelauan team or anything like that in junior footy to give you a bit of a taste?
Yeah, I played in the... We have this, it's like a Kōtero tournament, which is the Māori rugby league tournament, which goes up in the age grades. I played from, I think, under 14s up until under 18s. So that was my first taste of rugby league, and ever since then, just loved it. Loved being around it.
What are your thoughts on, just on a side note, what are your thoughts on like the little competitions or those little pathway teams? Yeah, I know here in Sydney we have, for the Cook Islands, we have Aussie Cooks. I only ask this because...
And we have the Pacific Youth Cup.
Pacific Youth
where
Cup.
Where Tonga, Samoa, Fiji all play in this one tournament.
So they have these games, ran, and like I loved it as a kid because I just got to play footy and, you know, be around, meet other people. I asked my sons to join a camp, you know, for next week, and they're both like, nah. But I forced them as a father, nah, you're going. But yeah. What are your thoughts on, like, you know, all those junior development programs, being involved, and do you think that you playing in them has helped you get to where you are today?
Yeah, I love them. I think, especially being from Wellington and a lot of places in New Zealand, we don't have, like, a weekly competition. So these tournaments are really just the only footy we get. So being part of that and being able to, especially the Māori ones, being able to connect with each other on that cultural and level is always fun. But yeah, I really enjoy them.
Man, those tournaments are special because you're right around the culture piece. You get to learn so much more about your culture. You get to be with people that are from the same background as you, same upbringing, so it's always a wonderful experience. Yeah. So hopefully you get to play in the Māori All-Stars game at some point in the future. That'll be pretty cool. But your debut is probably going around the corner. What does that mean to you to be able to represent your family and be on that stage and representing them and representing your last name? What would that mean to you?
Like everyone says, I think it means everything. I think being able to play and be on the field is just everything to me. It shows the hard work of myself, but most importantly, everyone that's behind me, everyone that's backed me. I think, I'd love to do it for them. Mostly do it for them, do it for myself, yeah.
And just finally, yeah, you live away from home, being brought up in Wellington. We just seen, your necklaces as well, items that hold, a special place, a special connection to you. How else do you stay connected to your family, to your culture, to your people?
Oh, that's a hard one. I think just trying to stay in touch and just talking to them. I think getting on the phone and ringing your family, because obviously they're close to what's going on in New Zealand, what's going on with culture, and obviously hearing firsthand what they're doing at work and what they're doing at the marae or what they're doing at these events keeps you connected. And I think just finding any little way that you can hear the language, when I call my mum at the hall at the marae and she's listening to them sing or listening to all anything is probably the closest thing I get to that cultural feeling here. So I think doing that as much as I can.
I've got a feeling you can sing as well. Can you sing?
Nah.
You got a voice?
Yeah.
Stop it. Nah. I want to find out from Toops. We've got to get something.
No. Not a singer.
But finally from me, just a couple of just quick fire ones just to finish us off with some lighthearted stuff. Are you a socks up or socks down girl?
Socks up.
Socks up. Were you socks up or down?
No, I was socks down.
You were down. Yeah, big calves.
Old school middles, they go socks down.
Oh, on the field.
Yeah, on the field.
Or what do you think? Is that just in general?
On the footy field.
On the footy field.
Socks down.
Oh, yeah, see? Old school middle. Okay.
Black boots or white boots?
I have black boots.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you're old school, man. Head taped or not taped?
No tape.
Hair braided?
Not anymore. I probably should, but no.
Okay. No. Ribbons or no ribbons?
I don't think I wear ribbons. Nah, no ribbons.
Okay. No, I'm just saying because Tiana always wears ribbons. So I was just seeing if you're copying any of those NRL stars.
You come up against...
I probably will start copying them.
You come up against a middle that you've looked up to and you get the chance off the kickoff. Do you run straight or do you step and run to the hole next to her?
I think I run straight.
Yeah,
run straight.
Okay, well, and after a hard day's work, You've just finished playing. You've run it straight. You've run over your opposite number. What is the go-to feed after the game?
Go-to feed, probably a steak in some kumara or some corn.
Yeah.
Oh, kumara.
And Coke Zero, some Coke Zero.
Oh, Coke Zero as well. Perfect, yeah. Perfect.
Well, I apologize because at the start I thought it was, your name was Hanua Rimoni. I didn't realize it was. I'm going to go have a crack at it, but Tengaroa Hiahi Hanua Afina Rimoni. Is that right?
That was pretty close, yeah.
It's close.
Pretty close.
Yeah, all right, we'll take that.
And just finally, pronounce your full name.
Tengaroa Hiahi Hanua Afina Rimoni.
And can you say, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
And you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yes, there it is. There it is.
we appreciate you for jumping on and, really looking forward to, watching your journey and the start to your NRLW career. I know that, you're just about to start your new preseason with a new NRLW club. So attack it, get in those rooms.
Win everything.
Compete at everything. There are no friends on the training paddock.
And on the field.
So get after it and we'll be supporting you throughout your whole career. So
much love.
You.
Appreciate it, man. Unreal.
Thank you.
Give me three answers for this one.
I'm waiting for you.
Oh, man, I'm looking at the score, 12 points to 7. That's why I was delayed on the intro, but we are playing Gimme 3. It is our way of finishing off Nijan Footy Mondays with a bit of humour, a bit of a laugh.
And a bit of competition.
We're going to be asking three questions, and my questions, even though it's a beautiful hymn, that what are the three numbers?
Dahi Dahi Fa. Was it?
Taha Taha Fa.
Oh, Taha Taha Fa.
Tahi Tahi Fa.
Well, one in...
Anyway, you got all three last week, but hopefully...
Tahi is one in Cook Island.
There you go. But so...
Tahi.
I didn't put too much thought into my question last week because I left it to during the show to come up with one, but I know UT, you've come well prepared. What do you have for
Very
me?
Well prepared, yes. So give me... Three, nice and simple. How many rounds in NRL have we had?
Round four.
So we've had four games.
Four games?
Four games. Now give me...
No, round zero. Is round zero? Does it go zero, one, two, three, four?
No, it goes round one, two, three, four.
Oh, I thought Vegas was round zero.
That's round one A, and then they were next week's round one okay. B.
Gotcha.
No, it was both round nine. anyway, give me three Nijan players in the top 10 try scorers for this year
for this year.
And I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
They've all scored four or more tries.
Oh, four or more. They've all scored four or more. Who have I seen score four? Again, can't complain about the questions. They've been very good.
Yep.
Very gettable.
Yep.
But I haven't.
I can tell you there's five players in this top 10 that have... Nijan heritage.
Tolukola has to be there.
Come on, man. Manly, no, they haven't won a game.
I know they haven't won a game, but he's been scoring tries. He's only scored two, hasn't he?
Tolukola isn't even in the top 20.
Oh, wow. He's only scored two. Sorry. I take that back. I'm just feeling you out here.
AJ. Was one. AJ. There you go. AJ. Alex Johnston.
AJ.
He's got four so far. Well, he had two in that double when he broke the record. So.
Yeah. Marky Mark.
Unfortunately.
Nah, he's only got a double.
Three.
Oh, he's got three.
Oh.
Can I have one more chance?
Yeah.
Just to try and get two?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's been scoring a lot of points lately?
There's actually two Tongans, one Samoan.
Okay.
Left to pick from. Yeah. Oh, actually, two Samoans.
Two Samoans.
Samoa, thanks, Samoa.
Oh, okay. Sua.
Sua Faalongo.
Yes.
He sits second.
Yes, I've got 2 points.
He sits second on the table. Seven tries so
You're
far.
You're the man. Thanks, T.
Yep, there you go.
I've got two out of the three. That takes me to nine.
Nine, and I'm so on 12.
Points to nine. And,
well, that's us for this week, and we'll have this weekend off due to Easter. So everyone,
stay safe in the holidays.
Stay safe. Enjoy your time with your family and tell your footy-loving friends about Nijan Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.